How does Psak Halacha work? When a person asks a Shaila to a Rav or to a Beis Din and then receives an answer, what exactly is the dynamic between the two parties? There's two ways that this dynamic can be understood. First of all, you can understand that the role of the Rav or the role of the Beis Din is purely an informative one. The Shoel, the one who's asking the question, is clueless, he's ignorant, he's uncertain about what is the Ratzon HaBore and what is Das Torah, about how he should behave in a certain situation. And the Rav whom he asks, or the Beis Din whom he comes to, reveals to him that the Ratzon HaBore, the Ratzon HaTorah, is that he should follow a certain path. That's one possibility. The Rav is an educator. He tells people what the Ratzon Hashem is. Then there's a second possibility, and that involves that the Rav does not simply educate the Shoel about what is the Ratzon Hashem, but rather by giving the answer, the Rav accepts on his shoulders responsibility, achrayos, for the actions taken subsequently by the Shoel. These are two possible ways of understanding Psak Halacha. As an aside, this Chakira also applies to Eidos. When two Eidim come to Beis Din and testify, are they simply educating Beis Din about a particular detail in history that they observed? Or are they accepting on their shoulders responsibility for all the consequences of their testimony? It's an important Chakira with a number of nafkaminas. And it's possible to distinguish between Psak Halacha and Eidos, just as it's possible to distinguish between different types of Psak Halacha. Maybe a Rav is different from a Beis Din, and between different types of Eidos. If we look at the Gemara on Horios, Daf Beis, Amud, Aleph, we see something that may be related to this Shaila. The Gemara wants to know, what is the proper nusach for a Hayra'a Gemura? A total, complete Hayra'a, a complete Psak Halacha. One man, the Amr, says that the nusach for Hayra'a is Mutarim Atem. It's permitted. The other man, the Amr, says the nusach for Hayra'a is Mutarim Atem La'asois. It's permitted to do. And I think in other contexts, Reb Chaim and maybe others point out that the chiluk between these two nuschos of Psak is whether the Beis Din is paskening purely about the abstract, theoretical, conceptual realm. Mutar matem, this is a permitted action. Or maybe Beis Din is actually applying the halacha to the case at hand. Mutarim atem la'asos. Go and do it. Go and do it. And I think that these two lashonos parallel the chakira. If you say that mutarim atem is sufficient as a gemar hayra, what that means is that the role of Beis Din is to educate the shoel about what the Ratzon Hashem is. And therefore, as soon as they've told him the Ratzon Hashem is to do this, or that the Ratzon Hashem is that you are allowed to do this, the Hora is completed. But if the Hora in the Psak Halacha actually requires an acceptance of responsibility for the consequences of their Psak, then Mutar Matem is insufficient. They have to instruct the person to act. Mutar Matem La'asos. I think there's a raya from later on in the sugya as to which of these two tzadim we follow. The Gemara tells us, Hayruha Beis Din, Hitiruha Beis Din, Li Nase. If Beis Din gave a woman whose husband, Chas V'Shalom, was lost overseas, gave her permission to to remarry. V'holcha v'kilkala. And she went, and she had znus. She's chayav achatas. If she went and got married, like the Beis Din gave her permission to do, then even though it turns out, l'mafreya, that she was an Eishes Ish, she still remains pater from achatas. But if she did something which Beis Din did not instruct her to do, then she's chayaves. L'cha'ora, if Beis Din were telling her, were simply informing her, educating her about the Ratzon Hashem in this situation, then the two situations should be exactly the same. She should have no greater penalty for the one than for the other. Because based on the most expert advice that she was capable of getting about the Ratzon Hashem, she was informed that she could behave as if her husband actually had passed on. The only way that we can differentiate between these two cases is if we understand that Beis Din, by giving a psak, is actually accepting responsibility for the consequences of their psak, for her actions, which are based on their psak. And in this realm, in the realm of responsibility, it's certainly conceivable that Beis Din can accept responsibility for one set of actions, but not for another set of actions, even though both sets of actions are premised on the same assumptions, namely the assumption that the husband had passed on. Because Beis Din, they accept achrayus only for one set of actions, and that's it. They've accepted achrayus for that, they haven't accepted achrayus for anything else. If it's purely educational, they tell her, api halacha, you're allowed to rely on the assumption that he's passed on, so then you can't differentiate. But if it's talui in their kabbalah sachrayos, so then it's very easy to differentiate. I want to bring another raya to this yisoid from a tshuva, and a tshuva is maimonios at the end of Seder Nashim, the end of Sefer Nashim. The tshuva is maimonios brings down the case about a woman whose husband was seen drowning, I think, in a school of piranha. Some sort of a very misukan situation, which nevertheless, halacha says, does not create a presumption, does not create such a presumption of misas habal. And Rav Nachman, one of the gedolei ha'amirayim, when he heard about this, he exclaimed, oy vai, chaval, her husband's passed on. His intention was not to issue a halachic ruling, because al pi halacha, she was not allowed to rely on the having observed this take place to assume that Mises Habal actually had happened. But Rav Nachman made this exclamation as a gesture of tsar and of sympathy and of empathy for this woman. Oy vai, he's gone. But she misunderstood Rav Nachman and took his statement as permission to get remarried. And the Gemara says under this circumstance that she's considered a shogeges. She's considered to be not responsible to the full extent for her actions of getting remarried, even though it turned out, or could possibly still turn out, that her husband was alive. She's not responsible because she acted based on this exclamation of Rav Nachman, even though it wasn't a psak halacha. She thought it was a psak halacha, but it wasn't really. But that's enough already to absolve her of responsibility. In contrast, says the tshuva is maimonios, in a situation where a person went and didn't ask the poisek, but stam, asked the lamdan, went to Beis Medrash, found a guy who was sitting learning a Gemara, and said, tell me, what's halacha in this situation? Husband was drowning in a school of piranha, can I get remarried or not? And he tells her, go ahead, get remarried. But he's not qualified to give psakim in Hilchos Agunos. He's just a lamdan, he's sitting and learning in Beis Medrash. He's not a poisek, he's not a gadol hador. Zok the Hagoy, the tshuva is maimonios, under these circumstances, the woman is considered amazing. She's considered have done what she did, bizadon, and if she gets remarried, even though we still are uncertain whether the husband is alive or dead, we make her separate from her second husband. What's the difference between these two circumstances? L'cha'ayra, in both cases, the woman was under a 100% conviction that she was acting al pi ratzon ha'Torah. When she heard Rav Nachman's exclamation, she thought that that was telling her ratzon ha'Torah, that she's allowed to get married. When she heard from the Lamdan in Beis Medrash that she's allowed to get married, she thought that he was qualified to tell her the ratzon ha'Torah. So both situations, in terms of her own conviction that she's doing the right thing, are equal. What about in terms of, should she have done further investigation? In both cases, she should have done further investigation. She shouldn't have just assumed that Rav Nachman was an exclamation. She should have investigated whether it was a psak halacha. And in the case of the Lamdan, she should have asked the Paisik. So in both cases, she was lacking in the shtablos that she could have done to find out the real Ritzayin HaBayrei. So that is not sufficient to differentiate between the cases. What's the difference between these two cases? I believe it's as follows. There are certain people, the Paiskim, the Gedolei Hadar, whose shoulders are broad enough to accept responsibility for certain consequences, for certain actions. And there are other people whose shoulders are not broad enough, who are not qualified, al pi halacha, to accept such responsibility. It makes no difference what you know, whether you assume that they're qualified or not. Aliba de emes, halacha says that a Paisik and a Gadol Hadar is qualified to accept responsibility for aguna shailos, and a stam lamdin is not qualified to accept responsibility for such shailos. When the woman was soymich on Rav Nachman, even though she could have done further ishtablos, nevertheless, Rav Nachman shares in the responsibility for her actions. There's a mitzvah on any chacham to be very careful what he says, lest a person misunderstand him or misconstrue his words as being a heter where halacha does not give a heter. Rav Nachman, who's a balach rayos, he's somebody who's capable of shouldering the responsibility, was ultimately the one, right, who to some degree can be implicated for the consequences of her actions. And therefore she's exempt. As opposed to if she went and asked the Lamdan doesn't have shoulders broad enough to bear this responsibility. So even though she was just as convinced that she was allowed to act al pi the Haras HaLamdan as she was based on a psak of a Gadol Hadar, but in the end of the day, there is nobody to accept responsibility for her actions but herself. And therefore, she's going to be chayavah, she's going to be considered like a mezida, and not like a shogegas. So I think this is also a raya that the yisoid of psak halacha, at least in these type of situations, is really an acceptance of responsibility for the consequences of the dibur or of the hayra, and not simply a giloy of what is the ratzon HaBayrei.